Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Our first camp meeting of 2025 is in the books. We finished at Gaskin Springs last weekend, and now we look forward to the rest of the summer. This weekend, however, I'm going to be in revival services June 20 through 22 at Joyce Chapel Presbyterian Church in Stoneville, North Carolina. That's just outside of Eden, North Carolina. So our friends who listen to us on WPET in Greensboro, I would like to invite you to come and join us for those services. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. And then I'll fly off to West Chazy, New York, to West Chazy Holiness Camp Meeting. I'll arrive there on the 28th of June, and the camp begins the 29th and runs through July the 4th. And then following that camp meeting, I'm going to travel down to the state of Georgia, August 10 to 20, to the Great Indian Springs Camp Meeting. I'm looking forward to returning to this particular camp. It's been called the Mother Camp of the South, and what an honor it is to be one of the speakers for that camp meeting. Then following Indian Springs Camp, I'm going to travel to New Jersey to Irma Camp and look forward to being there in the state of New Jersey. So I do covet your prayers as I travel and speak at these various camp meetings and revival services. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be able to bring the program to our listening audience today. Thank you so much for these now 88 years that we've been on the air and sharing the gospel. And as we've often said, eternity only will reveal how many people have been impacted by this radio program. And I'm so thankful for the vision that my dad had, for the lights of spiritual guidance, and what an honor it has been for me to continue the tradition of producing this program week after week since 1937. So thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you for the faithfulness of the people. Bless the remaining part of the program and the sermon that we will share, as well as the music. I ask it all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this week on the program, we skipped a week as we shared the anniversary program last week for 88 years of continuous broadcasting of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. And we began a sermon preached at a church in Princeton, Indiana, the General Baptist Church there, back a few weeks ago. And we're going to conclude that sermon today titled Death Resurrection. And I hope it'll be a challenge and an inspiration to you. So don't forget to write to me so that I can say on your radio station, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lomanministries.org. You can give there as well.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. And all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
It's a deal of a lifetime, exchanging lives with Him. Has it happened to you? That brings us to the problem. I didn't say problems, plural, did I? I said problem. And I could stand up here with the time that I have remaining and I could tell you about my problems. I've got a few of them.
And you could probably do the same if I were to ask you to stand where you're sitting there and just say, hey, tell us about some of your problems. And you could do that. We all have our unique set of problems. I've been now, as I mentioned last night, I've been serving the Lord for almost 61 years. And I'm thankful for God's grace in my life. But I cannot tell you that since that first time when I activated the grace of God in my life at a camp meeting altar, I mentioned that last night as well, since that time when I was 17 to this time right here at your church in front of you, I wish I could say from that time to this time that I never sinned. But regrettably, I can't tell you that. I would be lying if I did. So some years back, I wanted to know why the spiritual glitches in my life. No, better word. Why the spiritual failures in my life? Why the up and down? Why the in and out? Why the chronic seeking? Why was that? Why couldn't I be consistent? When the temptations came, why did I yield? I figured it out. I did. I figured it out. I'll tell you what my problem was. It was my wife. I mean, it was her. I mean, if she would just wake up one morning and say, you're the man. If she would just do that. If she would just recognize, I'm the authority around here. What I say goes, don't balk. Because when she does, I always get upset and I get mad and I do things, say things, act ways that I shouldn't act. And so she's the problem. Well, if you know my wife, you know she's not the problem. I'll tell you what the problem was. My kids. They're the problem. There were times I wanted to pinch their heads off. I mean, there were times I would get so frustrated with my kids. They would do something and I would look at one of them and I'd say, what is the matter with you? Did you check your brain at the door over there? What's going on in your life? What made you do that? Were you not thinking when you did that? What's the matter with you? And I'd lash out and I'd be angry and I'd treat them horribly. They were the problem. No. Tell you what the problem was. Church people. Church people. They were the problem. I mean, I pastored, as I noted last night, I pastored for 23 years, and there were times I would stand in my sanctuary and I'd see various people come through the door of the sanctuary, and I'd think to myself, I wonder which version of that person I'm going to get today. There were some times that I would find myself in my office on Monday morning, hiding under my desk, sucking my thumb, humming, Jesus loves me, this I know. Church people. All these personalities and all these demands. No. They weren't the problem either. I pastored some wonderful people. The problem was me. It was me. I couldn't blame her for the way I acted. I couldn't point a finger at my kids because I acted the way they did in response to what they had done. I was responsible for that. I couldn't blame church people for getting on my nerves. They were my nerves. I was responsible. I was the problem. It was me. Every morning, I'd get up and look in the mirror, and guess who looked back? I wish I could have gone somewhere without me. I just seemed to go everywhere I went. I just pestered the living daylights out of me. In all seriousness, I discovered that my biggest problem was me. I've discovered this in the church and in the religious world, the Christian world, that so many are not alcoholics, they're me-aholics. They're addicted to the dope of themselves. And because of that, they can never really get deeper in their relationship with Christ. Because they don't want that to go away. They want to be in charge. Every relationship that's ever gone amiss, ever gone awry, you realize that happened because somebody had to have their way? Every church split that's ever happened because somebody had to have their way. Every time you yield to temptation, it's because you decided you were going to do it. It's a me problem. You cannot cast it over onto somebody else. And until you have the kind of honesty that will cause you to come to terms with that me-ism, you'll never know what it is to experience this alternative lifestyle of which I speak. Well, where does that come from? Where does this self-centeredness originate? You have to go back to the writings of the Apostle Paul. He's writing of the church at Corinth. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, but the natural man, and understand, he's writing to a church here. He says, the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God. Evidently, there were some people in the Corinth church that were not Christian. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritual discerned. In verse 15, he says, but he that is spiritual, or he that is saved, born again, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And then down in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. And then in chapter 3, verse 3, he says, for ye are yet carnal, fleshly, carnal. He said, the core of iniquity, that from which all sin originates in the life of the individual, is carnality. Carnality. And when you take carnality and you lay it on a gurney and you cut it open and you dissect it thoroughly, after you work yourself through all of your Christian rhetoric, you know what you'll discover carnality to be? Nothing but old-fashioned self-centeredness. Ruling my life is me. Even though I might profess to be a Christian. Carnality. Carnality is bad. And I think you would agree with me this morning that we've seen too many evidences of carnality around us. Maybe even some of us have been guilty of a carnal spirit. Carnality. It always creates problems. I never had anybody say to me, you know, I was carnal the other day, but everything worked out all right. Carnality is just a bad thing. And we must deal with that carnality. This old-fashioned self-centeredness. You can reform on the outside, when all the while, on the inside, there is this self-centeredness, this focal point of living our lives that's destroying our spiritual lives, in essence. Even though we might profess to be a Christian. Well, what do you do with a problem like that? Once you acknowledge, I'm carnal sometimes. Yeah, I show out sometimes. Yeah, I want to be in charge. I want the final word. I want the final, don't cross me. What do you do with that? I'll tell you what most do with it in Christian circles. In theological terms, it's called suppression. Suppress it. Let me give you a visual. Every one of us was born with carnality. If you don't believe that, go to the nursery on a Sunday morning. And you watch those precious babies in there. They're just little tiny egotistical maniacs. I mean, they're carnal. They want their own way. And every one of us was born with that carnal spirit. Let's pretend this morning, just for a few minutes, that the water in that bottle is carnality. And you were born with one of these. And so what do we do with it? We try to contain it. Let's suppress it. Certainly don't want it to get out. Always creates a mess when it gets out. So we do our best to keep the lid on the top of our bottle of carnality. Don't want it to get out. But you know, we've discovered that we're just too big for ourselves. And life being what it is, the lid on our top of our bottle of carnality just, over time, with things happening and people doing things or saying things, that lid begins to loosen. Not in the Word as much as we should be. We're not totally yielded. We're holding on to some things. We see that lid on the top of our bottle of carnality begin to loosen, and every once in a while, we have a little carnality Burp. Did I get that on you? Oh, man. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have talked to you like that, friend. I just shouldn't have said that. At least the way I said it, I'm so sorry. I really am sorry. Let me get it off of you. Okay, we'll get it back on. Put it back in our bottle of carnality, and we feel bad about how we spoke to our friend down at the church. We shouldn't have said that, especially like that. I mean, that was terrible. So what do we do on Sunday morning when Pastor Brad opens the altar? What do we do? Well, I remember what I said and how I said it, how I treated my friend at the church. Shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have said that. So we get up out of our seat, we come down to the altar, we bring our little bottle with us, and we put it there on the altar, and we say, oh, God, did you see what I did this last week? Did you hear how I talked this last week? What I said to that person in the church? It was so wrong. It was mean. I'm just so sorry about that. You know, God, I'm really not that way. But you are. So after you purge yourself a little bit at the altar, you start to walk away. You go back and pick it up. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to talk like that anymore. I'm not going to treat that person like that again, like I did that time. I'll keep the top on the lid of my bottle of carnality. And we do pretty good for a week, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe a month. We keep that carnality sealed in there. I mean, we're suppressing it. We don't want any of it to get out because, as I said, nothing ever came good of carnality spilling out on somebody. But again, I know how life is and I know how the pressures of life can be. And I know how over time that pressure builds. And then one day, I mean, it's not a carnality burp this time. It's a full-blown carnality explosion down at the house. I mean, it goes all over everybody at the house. It gets on the carpet. It gets on the television. It gets on all the furniture. It's just everywhere. Oh, look at all this carnality. It's just covered our house. And you say, oh, somebody get a mop, somebody get a broom, we get the vacuum cleaner, we got to get this carnality up. And we go around the house and we start mopping up and cleaning up the carnality. We say, oh, come here, son, let me get that carnality over you. Come here, honey, I gotta get that carnality off of you. And we're trying to get all this carnality gathered up, and we put it back in our bottle, and we put the lid on the top of our bottle of carnality. And we come to church on Sunday and we feel bad about how we treated the people in our lives who were supposed to love the most, the worst. And so what do? When the altar call is given, we come down, we bring our little bottle with us, and we say, oh God, I shouldn't have treated those people I'm supposed to love the most, the worst. I'm so sorry about that. I want you to forgive me. I'm really not that way. But you are. We purge ourselves a little bit, and we get up and feel a little better, start to walk away. We pick it up. We take it with us. Always dealing with the symptom and never the problem. You say, Lane, that's just a silly evangelist illustration. I wish I could say that, but I can't. Because what I've just shared with you was an illustration of my life. 25 years, I carried one of those. Carried that bottle. I discovered something about carnality. I discovered that carnality exposes itself differently in each and every one of us, depending upon our temperament, how life was modeled to us by our parents, how influences from our peers have an effect upon us. Carnality will demonstrate itself differently. So since I was brought up in a Christian home, and I never saw carnality demonstrated in the lives of my parents, and I was in a Christian environment all of my life growing up, I'll tell you how my carnality exhibited itself. When I didn't get my way, I would pout. I can out-pout anybody in the sanctuary. I mean, you know what that is, don't you? I mean, if you don't get your way, you're just your old silent treatment. I'll pout you into submission. If I don't get my way, I won't talk to you. I'll make your life miserable just by pouting. 25 years I lived like that. I remember the day it all changed. I didn't get my way that morning. I was pastoring. Got in my little pastoral calling car, drove down the driveway, turned left on Richards Road in Antioch, Tennessee, and turned right on Una Antioch Pike down to a little side road, Mountain View Road, that would take me over to the mall on the south side of Nashville. It's And God came. He invaded my space. I didn't see him like I see you, but he was there in that passenger seat. I'd seen this alternative lifestyle. I'd seen it in my parents. And I knew I didn't have what they had. I knew I saved, but I didn't have what they had. And I remember just turning my head a bit to the right so I could keep my eye on the road. And I said, God, I hate living like this. You know what he said to me in my spiritual ear? He said, Lane, you know what you got to do? I said, what? He said, you've got to die. You've got to die. I knew what he meant. He wasn't talking physical death. You've got to die to your own self-centeredness. And folks, March 1989, Mountain View Road, Antioch, Tennessee. I died. And I came alive in Christ in a way that I'd never known before. A deeper understanding of the Word of God began to evolve in my life. I began to read the Bible not as a tool of my trade, but rather as an instruction book for my life. I began to read those verses that I'd known all of my life and understand what it really meant to possess the mind of Christ. I knew what Paul was talking about when he said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I begin to understand that. There was a crisis moment on Mountain View Road that day in March of 1989, but ever since, been unlearning all those self-centered tendencies. All that self-centered behavior has been replaced to the glory of God with Christ-like behavior. Amen. So I must ask you the question, have you ever died?
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.